Yes, grab a cup, grab a seat, and welcome on in to Coffee and Cornbread. Happy Friday. It's time for our final show of the week. Be sure to stick around until the end of the show for this week's Fan Friday. Now, let's catch you up on everything you missed around the barn. Auburn fans weren't exactly thrilled when a home game against Baylor was moved to Atlanta, but now that we know more about the financial impacts on the decision, Charlie Five explained in the Top Button podcast why it may have been a move that Auburn simply couldn't afford not to make.
College football as a whole, like that we loved in 2010, 1995, 1989, is gone. It's survival of the fittest right now. And different schools have to have certain schools have more obstacles than others. And I think Auburn's very competitive, but I think Auburn's got to be a lot more creative than most. So I know that was a tough decision. Once the details are released, it makes sense as far as survival goes in college football. Again, I know that's emotional, but I think if you just take a step back from the emotion and look at it, you can at least say, I'm still mad about it. I still hate it, but I guess I understand why. That's all I'm going to say about that. It's a big deal, a lot of money, free and clear for the players, and I know that's going to make Auburn very competitive in the NIL space. That's why you're having success in high school recruiting right now, probably going to be primed to go make some moves in the portal in December or January as well. So we'll see how that plays out.
I think Kyle hits on the reality of college football today. As fans, of course, we'd rather have Baylor come to Jordan-Hare, but you don't want to lose a home game, of course, especially one against a powerful four opponent, especially one that you just went to Waco last year for. But Auburn's also trying to compete in an arms race, and that requires finding new ways to generate money. If moving one game to Atlanta gives Auburn's millions of additional dollars to help build its roster, you can understand why the decision was made. You don't have to like it, but if that money ultimately helps Auburn land impact players, win more games, and I think most fans will eventually be able to accept that trade-off, because this is a new reality of college athletics, folks. It's not just a college football problem. It's a college athletic problem. It's not just an Auburn and SEC problem. It is a national problem, and Auburn has to find ways to stay ahead of it. It is truly an adapt or die situation. Auburn basketball as well as in this mix. And let's move on over to the Hoops talk, because their biggest weakness last season was hard to miss. The Tigers simply didn't have enough size inside. On this week's Barnes Hoops show, Jacob Hillman explains why Auburn's rebuilt front court could completely change the way this team looks next season.
What I'll say is to this question of, is the front court SEC caliber? The sub question, the first one is the height and the size. And you can go ahead and put a check mark next to that, with the additions of Narcisse Ngoy, Buki Oboye, and Owen Freeman, 7'1", 7', 6'10". All of those guys are as taller or taller than Keyshawn Murphy, who was Auburn center this past season. And from everything that's coming out of practice, I mean, Ngoy is an absolute stud, and he is going to be that interior presence that Auburn needs. There's been some photos posted by Auburn men's basketball. It looks like he is dunking on a mini hoop. It's good to see. It's something that Auburn just simply did not have last year. And I think the height itself is going to improve that. Now, how much is it going to improve? And that's going to depend on the offensive game of these guys, I think, as well.
You have some fun returning players, and you can talk about scoring and guard play, but this team desperately needs more size and physicality around the rim, and they went out and addressed it. Stephen Pearl went out this offseason and got it done. Now, being tall doesn't automatically make you have an amazing front court, but these guys will still have to prove that they can defend SEC big men, rebound consistently, and contribute offensively. You have to do it all inside one of the toughest conferences in college basketball. But if Auburn can finally establish that interior rim protection and allow Stephen Pearl to build the type of defense Auburn has traditionally had when it's competing at the top of the SEC, I feel really good about their chances. The pieces are there. When you look at this roster, if you're not familiar with them, check it out. Just go to the roster page on the Auburn website. Check out more of the Barnes Hoop Show with Jacob Hillman. He explains it and breaks down players very good. The pieces are there. Now we get to find how quickly they come together. This is a smart take by Jacob Hillman. On the flip side, let's switch on in to dumb fan mode. That's right. Brad Law on Village Vice went full DFM on this episode of Village Vice. It was wild on Thursday, laying out exactly how Auburn could go 12-0. Yes, undefeated in 2026. And if there's going to be a moment where everyone realizes the season is different, Brad believes it'll happen between the hedges in Athens.
Every special season, there is a road game where you make a statement.
Sure.
And whether it was 2013 at Texas A&M, I would argue 2017 might have been Texas A&M as well. 2010 was early in the year. It was Mississippi State on a Thursday night. 2004 was Knoxville.
Mm.
I know 2013 and 17 weren't undefeated seasons, but the undefeated season, certainly there's a road game where you make a statement. And I think back to the way South Florida almost pulled the upset in Tuscaloosa a few years ago with Byron Brown and Alex Golish. And they just ran the ball up the middle and hit big passing plays. And the defense created turnovers. And this is the game where you stuff the run, you make Mike Bobo throw the ball, and your corners and safeties have a big day. And you get a couple turnovers and short fields. And that's the turning point where you win the game in Athens, you snap the streak, and you announce loudly to the college football world that Auburn is a force this year.
If you haven't already, make sure you go check out that episode because it was fun. And what makes that scenario for Brad so much fun to think about is that every great Auburn team has had that moment where it went on the road and proved everybody that they were for real. Could Athens be that moment in 2026? Look, I have personally gone on record to believe that the first half of the season looks really good. Other than that Georgia game, like I can see a potential win for 5 of the 6 games to start off the year. That one is the Georgia game. I just don't feel comfortable with it personally for me. But if you put yourself in DFM, maybe you can think differently. This is one of those games that if you can see the blueprint, maybe you can see also a win. Run the football, great explosive plays with Byron Brown. Force Georgia to get into uncomfortable situations. You know, take away the fake timeouts. Maybe you can get Georgia to fall in Athens. Find a way to steal a couple possessions, make it work. DJ Durkin, how you doing? Maybe there's a way. Look at me going in DFM this morning. Maybe I need another cup. If Auburn walks into Athens and actually snaps that losing streak, the entire conversation around this team, it changes overnight. Alex Golish, first-year head coach, who cares? You just beat Georgia. And at that point, you're not talking about Auburn being a dark horse anymore. No, no. You're talking about Auburn being a legitimate contender. There's no doubt about it, folks. So maybe a little bug on this coffee and cornbread. Maybe I can blame dumb fan mode for it. But that's what we're here for. No doubt about that. Auburn's giving up a home game. Let's get back to that conversation against Baylor to play in Atlanta. It was controversial. There's no doubt about that. But on the Barn Social Hour, Graham explains why learning about $6 million NIL impact completely changes his perspective on the move.
Yeah, so it came out, the official number came out about what Auburn was going to be receiving for being a part of this AFLAC kickoff game. We knew from the get-go of like when they decided to move this game from Jordan Hare to Atlanta that there would be NIL money involved to pay our players, you know, for the future and stuff like that. So it came out that Auburn will receive $6 million to be distributed among 24 players.
What was that number?
$6
million. Yeah, we'll take it.
So, I mean, we'll play in Atlanta every week if we have to, if we're getting paid $6 million. So I was in the camp at first of like, yeah, hey, this is kind of annoying that we're losing a game, but we're getting paid $6 million. It's fine. Do whatever you want.
That's totally fine with me.
Yeah. So the 24 players have been selected. I don't know these 24 players, but that $6 million will get distributed, I think, amongst those guys. Mm-hmm. That's what I heard from, I think it was Justin Hogenson on a radio show. And so that I really love that because, I mean, if you distribute that money up, it's equally among those guys. It's $250,000 each. And I really like that because I think it helps us, you know, give them NIL money, those 24 guys NIL money. And that might not be all their NIL money, but at least a good chunk of it.
I don't think Graham's alone. Actually, I think he is sitting where a lot of Auburn fans are sitting right now, where they probably are landing after hearing this new financial news about the NIL dollars. Nobody wanted to give up this home game at Jordan-Hare. Nobody wanted to give up the Baylor game. But when you're talking about $6 million going to Auburn players, and I'm pretty sure not all of it's going to football, so it helps more than just the football program, the conversation changes everything. Significant amount of money in today's college football landscape. There's reports that Auburn's football roster is sitting around $30 million. One-fifth of that, if that's the case, is being taken care of because you moved the game to Atlanta. That's a pretty good perspective to think about it. You can still hate losing the home game while understanding why Auburn made a decision. Because if playing one game in Atlanta gives the program another advantage in building a championship caliber roster, well, then you got to trade off. You have to think that Auburn may have just simply could have passed it up. And that's exactly where my mind goes in that one. My head might be spinning over it, but it is what it is. Speaking of spinning, on Thursday's live cast, look at me on segues today. I'm cooking. It's great. Feeling good on this Friday, folks. I hope you are too, wherever you're listening to Coffee and Cornbread. Well, we got the listeners involved on the Spin the Wheel on our Thursday live show. And barn member Jacob J. Yeah, yes, you. He came through with a legitimate hot take. Auburn and Alabama could finish this season with the exact same record, or at least pretty darn close.
Jacob J, member for 7 months, hot take, Alabama and Auburn finish with the same record or within one game of each other. It's a hot take. I think that is a hot take. That is what I love it when people give a hot take and it's actually a hot take. Well done, Jacob J. Well done.
Yeah.
I don't hate that one. I mean, what would that mean? What would that mean? It would mean they both enter the Iron Bowl with like 7 or 8 or like 8 wins.
8-4, 9. Yeah. 8-4, 9-3. I would take that.
Yeah, if you told me Auburn and Alabama finish with the same record, I would guess that would be 8-4.
Yeah.
Okay. That would be Alabama underachieving and Auburn overachieving.
I'll tell you this. If we both finish with the same record, I would say it's 8-4 as well, but I would say Auburn beat Alabama.
I believe that. Yeah, based Auburn schedules. Based Auburn schedule stuff.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not ready to predict Auburn and Alabama to finish with the exact same record, but I don't think the possibility is crazy either, especially as crazy as if it would have sounded a year ago. And for that to happen, Auburn probably has to outperform expectations while Alabama takes a slight step back. We heard Zach say that. I believe that 100%. And if both teams are sitting around 8 wins when they meet in the Iron Bowl, watch out. Alex Golish is going to be ready to take care of business. Because at that point, you're not talking about bragging rights. Auburn would have an opportunity to finish with the same record as Alabama and potentially beat them to do it. Is that too much boog? Are we booging too hard on this Friday? Maybe, but that's exactly what this show is all about. And this show is all about you. And that's what Friday's episode is. Fan Friday, highlighting some of the Barn's top moments from you, the members here at the Barn. I got 4 awesome comments to share with you on our opening week here at Coffee and Cornbread. Now, throughout the Fan Fridays moving on, other than this week, it'll be comments all over the channel. So if something really is funny, pops up, trending, something coming from all of you folks, we're going to highlight it on Coffee and Cornbread throughout the week. But I wanted to focus on the members only on this episode, checking out the brand new show. So starting with number 1 here from Aubinator, talking on the very first episode, I asked the question, what are you most optimistic about compared to last year? And Aubinator said, my answer to this question is basketball. I don't think I was really thinking about basketball incredibly much last July, but I'm extremely excited for basketball this year. I believe we have an extremely high ceiling, perhaps higher than last year. Last year's ceiling was Sweet 16 for me. I think this ceiling is Elite 8. Look, getting back to the tournament is step 1. Once you do that, I think everything is wide open, and as long as you can get to the first weekend, Sweet 16 is wide open, and why can't you go to Elite 8? So I love that. Absolutely love that. I think Stephen Pearl has had one of the best off seasons in the country, let alone the SEC. Really like what he did there. So thanks, Aubinator, for that comment. We get in GDN Courtney Miller. Same question here. Said, I'm more optimistic about Auburn because the Barn is awesome and Byron Brown on 4th and 1. Can't disagree with any of that. Byron Brown on 4th-and-1 is going to be art. It's going to be a masterpiece. You're basically giving a free play away. We see it happening in the NFL all the time. When you get to 4th-and-1, you get the tush push or whatever like that. With Byron Brown, his physical size, you're basically asking for a free first down. So absolutely love that as well. Trenches doesn't matter when you got a guy like Byron Brown at quarterback. Ask the question on National Mac and Cheese Day on Tuesday. How do you like your mac and cheese? And Love the Blue 6659 says, I like my mac and cheese with crust on top. That's a great way. I love that. I go all different ways. You know, my wife will make an awesome 6-cheese mac and cheese. She goes to town on it. I can go with the easy Kraft macaroni and cheese. The spirals, though, I like the spirals. Or maybe if you're feeling a little crazy, looking for some spice, I don't know what it is, but I really like Frank's in mac and cheese. I don't know. Dog it if you want, but it hits for me. It hits for me, just if it's like one of those simple type of things. Or make like your own homemade KFC bowl, you know, the baked beans, mashed potatoes with mac and cheese. We can go on and on, you know. Don't want to get you that hungry. Final comment for today. James Bowman talks about Daryl's Throwback Thursday. I wanted to highlight that because, man, how cool was that? Daryl's story, talking about how he fell in love with baseball in 1976. We're going to have Daryl on hopefully every week during Throwback Thursday so he can share another story because, man, he has so many good ones, and I want to be able to highlight them and show here. It's coffee and cornbread. Had to get Daryl involved on this show somehow, right? Had to get Dap involved on this one. He said, wow, DD making me reflect as well. I remember going to the Vanderbilt basketball games with my dad and granddad. On the way home, we would listen to The Shadow on the radio. Look up the intro for that broadcast if you have a moment. When the people say it was simpler time, that is what they mean. Love that. I haven't checked out that intro. I'm going to do that as soon as I quit this show right here. Thank you so much for joining this adventure with me as we get this started here on the very first week of Coffee and Cornbread. And we'll be back here bright and early again on Monday. Thanks for pulling up a chair. We'll do it again on Monday right here on Coffee and Cornbread. War Eagle.